Matt asked me a couple weeks ago if I'd be willing to preach for the Christmas Eve service, and trying to think about the different things that you could preach on during Christmas. I mean, obviously, you have to preach on Christmas. Now, if you know me, I don't like doing the normal thing, and I am preaching on Christmas, but I'm going back approximately between 6,000 and 7,000 years ago. So, we're going to find out the reason for Christmas, why there had to be a Christmas, and all the reasons and proof throughout thousands and thousands of years as to why Christmas really happened, why it is true, and why it is undeniable that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the promised Savior. So, don't feel like you have to open up to the verses that I'm going to be reading, because I'm going to be hopping from Genesis all the way to the book of Luke and Mark, I believe. So just hang tight with me, and we'll begin in Genesis chapter 2. This is at the beginning of time, just after creation, starting at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden and to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And then not too long after that, we see in chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate." And further down, after they committed this sin, God then prophesied the coming of the Christ, the first prophecy. He said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," this is to the serpent, "and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In other translations, it says that you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. And that, I think, is I like that translation. So that's the first prophecy of Christ's coming. Now we jump, believe it or not, 1,942 years. This is after the flood. This is to Abraham. I skipped one. Here we go. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Who do you think he's talking about? So now we jump to after Abraham. He's over 100 years old. He's had a son, his name is Isaac. God commanded him to go to a mountain that he would name. And then he was to kill his son on that mountain. And as Abraham was obeying, this is found in Genesis chapter 22, verse 10. "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham!' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, "The Lord will provide." This is very key. He will provide. It isn't God did provide, it's God will provide. And it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And from that point, that very same mountain, many, many years later, there was the Son of Man carrying a cross up on that very same mountain and was later killed. So Abraham was promised that through his seed, all the families of the world would be blessed. And his son Isaac was told this by God: "Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my law." That's the son of Abraham. And now we jump to Isaac's son, Jacob. I don't know the exact number of years, but this is Isaac's son, God telling him, "Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." God is making this same promise to Jacob. So he made a promise to Abraham, he made a promise to Isaac, and he made a promise to Jacob. Now we jump many, many years later to King David, who, if you don't know your genealogy, David is the great, 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 I don't know how many greats, I didn't count, grandson of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is still that same line. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the son of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Before you, your throne shall be established forever." How can it be forever if we die? We'll just wait and see, and you'll find out. Now we jump ahead to Isaiah. This is where we start to get more into the Christmas feel of things. This is 500 years before the birth of Christ. And this is where, how can anybody deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because 500 years ago, a prophet wrote down something about what was to come. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I missed one, sorry. That was Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. But earlier in Isaiah chapter 7, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Who do you think that is? Now we jump to the part that's very hard to read. The proof. Here is the proof of who Jesus was. I don't have enough time to read Mary's genealogy, but I do have enough time to read Joseph's. Found in Matthew, it says, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahashon. Nahashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king David. The king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Jerome. And Jerome begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers. And the time they were carried, and at about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abud. I don't know how to say his name. Sorry. Abud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azar. Azar begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Elud. Elud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, I know in our culture today, genealogies are not that important. I can't think too far back in my history. But here's the line. Here's names that we know. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have David. And I don't have enough time to show you all of those people's lives, but it's an amazing story. So now we jump. Jesus is born. We sang about the fact that Jesus is born as of tomorrow, thousands of years ago. This is found in Luke. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom therefore will be no end. That is the angel speaking to Mary about her coming son. Now we jump into John. This is found in John 3. This is Jesus talking to a Pharisee. This is why Jesus is so important. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you remember when we talked about Isaac? As he was going up, he was going to be the death. And now Jesus is predicting his own. Now we read in John 14, Jesus also says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And now we jump to the worst day in history, where humankind did the unthinkable, and Satan thought he was winning. But little did he know he was giving the final blow to his own head. So when Jesus had, this is found in John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when he had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. My professor in Bible college said that in the Hebrew, or the Greek, sorry, when he says it is finished, it is not a defeat of it is finished. It is a victorious it is finished. It is sin has been conquered by me, and now I can give salvation to all. But that was not the end. The time did not end with God dead, because 3 days later, then, as they were afraid and bowed their head, these are the ladies that went to deal at the tomb to bring incense. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, these are angels, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Hallelujah. This is the meaning of Christmas. This is why we have hope, because death was conquered by God, who sacrificed himself. And there's proof of it. There's archaeological proof, and there is physical evidence, and then there is also the spiritual evidence that we can feel within our own lives. And I've found that the best way to preach is to just preach the Word of God. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.